Well, a new United Van Lines National Movers study found that 2017 was a bad year for Illinois. We were the number one state where the most residents moved from. We beat out New Jersey, Connecticut, and New York. What does this highly publicized mass exodus from the state of Illinois do to our local economy, especially housing? And that news, coupled with the new tax plan and the possible and the $10,000, the SALT, all the stuff that we've been talking about, have some worried about the stability of the housing market. If you're looking to buy or possibly sell, what's this forecast look like? Barry Sterner is the CEO of Townstone Financial. He joins us from time to time on the download. Barry, good to see you, buddy.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
It's been a while. I thought about this. You know, we saw this study today. You don't really think about it, but what does a mass exodus, when you're talking about thousands of people being the number one state, what does that do to the housing market when so many people are moving out?
You know, when I saw that this morning, I automatically thought of you, because of how you guys always talk about these types of things here. But, you know, eventually you're losing talent. People who are, you know, we're talking about bringing Amazon here, and we need talented people downtown and things of that nature. And if you have this mass exodus, obviously you're going to lose smart people. You're going to lose dollars. Tax dollars are leaving the state. How much is that going to hurt? Are there enough people moving back into the state? I mean, that talks about the mass exodus right now. You know, I would tell you that for the first time, I've been in the mortgage business since 1998. I will tell you that I had so many people call me, and we're licensed in Wisconsin and Indiana, call me and say, hey, we're thinking about moving to southern Wisconsin. We're thinking about moving to, you know, western Indiana. We're getting out of the state. The taxes are too high. The schools, the crime, you know, you name it, everything that we talk about all the time. Yeah. I don't think it's a good thing, that's for sure. I mean, there's great things happening in Chicago right now, obviously, with the job market and things of that nature. But, you know, when I read that this morning, it's kind of depressing. And those guys down in Springfield and over here in City Hall, they need to fix things. I mean, that's one of the reasons.
Let me ask you this, you know, from your vantage point as a mortgage broker, I mean, do you find yourself, is it difficult for people to move to Illinois? I mean, forget about the political climate, forget about all of that. But when you talk about coming here and you talk about the prices of the houses and the housing market, now with the president's tax plan that's in law, the tax law, I should say, is it a difficult sell? Is Illinois and Chicago area a difficult sell for people coming here to live?
You know, the higher end market, I'm going to say anything over 500,000. I'm sure there's some real estate agents listening, and I'm friends with obviously many of them. You know, that higher end has been extremely soft in Chicago and the surrounding suburbs probably since July or August. Why has that been happening? I have no idea. But right now, if you have a higher end property, I know there's a lack of product. We've talked about that for the 2 years that I've been coming on the show here, you know, in the lower levels. But when you get in the upper end right now, there's definitely a softness. Does that have to do with taxes? Does it have to do with the schools and all the rest? It's not a good thing.
Yeah.
I would tell you that right now. But as we were talking before, you know, people are looking at their 401k plans. They're looking at their IRA statements right now. And from last year to this year, many of them are up 20, 25%. You feel a little more wealthy. I don't care, you know, who the person is. When you look at that, you feel good about yourself. And I would say right now, since the end of December, we have a lot of people calling, getting pre-qualified. Not as many as last year. Last year, it was kind of crazy. I remember I came on here and we were talking about the Fed. And I said, Justin, I cannot believe how many people are looking for a new house. Right. But right
because
now, there's
the interest
still
rate was low, right?
Extremely low. We're a little higher right now. And the 30-year fix is probably a point higher than it was last year at this particular time. But still very affordable. As you look back in history, 4.5% versus 5, 6, 7%. Some people are probably thinking my first mortgage was at 11%. So I think it's affordable. I think people still want to move to Chicago. I want to be positive about it because the economy is doing very well. People have job security right now.
Right. When I think about what you said about the higher end market being soft, and, you know, we've been on the show and we've talked about how Chicago has a have and have not issue as well, where we're seeing much more of a Jekyll and Hyde kind of scenario where there'll be a lot of rich people live here and then people have a hard time finding affordable housing if they're not in that sect. How do you juxtapose that? The idea that, yes, it's soft at the top, but there's not a lot of stock housing. We've talked about it. There's not a lot of product that's $200,000, $250,000, $300,000 that's built and in areas in which you would prefer to live.
So, nowhere near the city. Nowhere near the city.
So how do you work that? How do you work that if that's not working on the top end and it's soft there, and yet it's not affordable? There's nothing that is available for people who can afford at that level.
I mean, you come into Chicago, people call me all the time that they're moving in from another state. I mean, the bottom line, when they're going to talk to a real estate professional, you're going to look at some of the extended suburbs. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You're going to have a commute if you want to live in downtown. If you want to work in downtown Chicago, you're not going to find a large house for, if you were living in Kansas City per se, for $300,000 with four bedrooms, you know, right, three baths and a large backyard. It's just not going to happen. You're going to have to move to the suburbs. The affordable housing problem that we've had in the city of Chicago has been that way ever since I've lived here. They talk about it. I don't know how they're ever going to fix it because there's a limited amount of land here. However, you know, you can go to any of the surrounding suburbs, and because my kids play hockey, I've been in all the surrounding suburbs, it seems like, every weekend. I mean, I was out in Joliet. We were in Mount Prospect. We were in Crystal Lake. And I was happened to be, unfortunately, driving around. There's plenty of affordable housing out in that area. You just don't happen to be in downtown Chicago. So you're still near the city. You have all the great things that are happening here. So I still think it's a great place to move to. You're in northern Illinois, and you have everything that comes with it.
Barry Sterner is the CEO of Townstone Financial. We're talking about the housing market. And also, let's take a quick break, because I want to talk about the other things in the tax law, which have to do with deductions and how much you can actually deduct from your taxes. And then also, let's talk about the interest rate, the Fed, as it goes up. And Barry joins us from time to time to talk about the economy. He's here tonight. We'll take a quick break. Come back. Stay with us. Barry Sterner in studio, the CEO of Townstone Financial. We're talking about what the tax law and, of course, how it affects the housing market. We've been talking the big news, of course, with the state of Illinois. It's been the mass exodus of people. And I think that plays, there's a lot of things that we can suss that out. And we've talked a lot about it on the program about some of the social things that are happening in the city, the inequality as well. A lot of the mass exodus are people who just can't afford to live in this area anymore. When you talk about interest rates, and this was something that was wanted to be fixed when the Trump administration came in and the Fed, the concept was stop cutting these rates. The Obama administration cut to try and save the housing market. It's time to bring them up. We're seeing that happen.
Absolutely. I mean, the Fed has been gradually raising rates now for a year and a half. But the key thing that they're really stopping doing is they're stopping their bond purchasing. The best way to explain that most simply is that the largest buyer of United States Treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities, which are the mortgages that I do, that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac buy up, our federal government was buying all these. And so by buying the bonds, they were artificially lowering interest rates, which we've been talking about forever, and they haven't stopped completely, but they're getting to the point where they're going to stop buying those completely. So now all of a sudden you have all these bonds, you have the treasuries, you have the mortgage-backed securities, and there's new ones being created, plus the Trump tax cut. Supposedly we're going to have more debt there, so you're going to have all these bonds, more and more supply. Are we going to have enough buyers with the biggest buyer of the United States coming out? We're all expecting interest rates to go up. If we get to 5% and you call me up and I say the 30-year fix is at 5%, there's going to be a portion of people who no longer qualify for that loan. Is there going to be a huge amount? Probably not, but there's still going to be a good amount of people from 3.5% to 5%, and that could slow down the real estate market.
Is that
market.
What people, when they talk about how the tax cuts, that's what really they're at the heart of, that many people may not be able to afford a 5% interest rate, so that's what would slow down the housing market.
I mean, we're at 4.5% right now on a 30-year fix, so we're only a half a point off. The Fed's meeting tomorrow. They're not expected to raise, but they're still expected to raise another three times in 2018, so that directly affects home equity lines of credits and things of that nature. So I could see us getting around 5%. I mean, I've been in this business a very long time. There's people listening, as I said before, who had much higher interest rates when they bought houses. I don't think it's going to put the kibosh on it, but it could certainly slow it down a bit because things were very, very tight this summer. People were overbidding on houses between $150,000 and $400,000. There were multiple offers because there weren't a lot of product. But I want to say one thing. We're very, very close to 2008 levels for housing prices. I've had so many people call me up, and it's just human nature. It's like when you buy a stock and it goes down and then it gets back to where you bought it at, you feel good. You know, you'll sell it there, and then of course it goes up another 10 points and you're so mad at yourself. So people now say to themselves, hey, my house was worth $300,000 in 2008. It went down to 150. It's back to 300,000.
Right.
I'm ready to sell it. There have been a lot of people that we've talked to here over the last couple months who feel that way. They feel more comfortable. It's back to 300. I think there's going to be more product on the market here coming up in the spring. I'll have to come back and we'll see if I'm correct at that
Barry,
time, and it'll be easier for people to buy.
Let me ask you a question, just as somebody who has observed the news, and Rick, when you say 2008 prices, to you that means something different to me. I hear that and I'm like, well, we're getting closer to a bubble break, or the idea we're back to where we were, where prices get to a certain point and they're not going to get much higher, and if something happens, then the market's going to crash. I mean, are we in any danger of when we start to see the prices expand like this to going back to where we were 8 years ago or 10 years ago now?
I would never say that you're not in danger of repeating the same mistake, because we do it all the time. However, it's taken 10 years, think about that, to get back to where prices were in the bubble of 2008. It's been a very, very slow process. The reason why I'm not worried about the bubble is because I believe that strong hands own houses right now. You have a lot of corporations that came in and bought single-family homes that own large swath of houses throughout the country that aren't going to sell or dump houses. On top of that, you have other people such as myself and you know, just the general public. You know, they've given their first child in order to get approved.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so I mean, it wasn't like we didn't have any no docs. There's no stated income or anything like that. You know, people had to qualify at 40% debt to income. They had to have decent credit. So at that point, you know, I just don't see the bubble happening where, you know, you're going to start throwing your keys in. However, if something right. happens with the economy, who knows what our fine president's going to do tomorrow.
Let me ask you this, because I want to get the home equity line of credit stuff in too. But the what I find interesting is SALT, the deductions of the state and local taxes. And they capped it in the federal government, capped it at $10,000. For a lot of the high end that you were just talking about, that's way less than what they were deducting before. Now, obviously, their standardized deduction will rise as well. So in a lot of cases, they'll break even or come close. But there may be some cases where they're paying out more. But beyond the people who are buying or who have a house right now, how does it affect people who want to get in or, you know, recognize that it's not as sweet of a deal as it once was for homeowners?
Right. Well, there's two things. The interest rate deduction now is capped at $750,000. So that's on your first mortgage, your primary mortgage. So, you know, if you get over 750, you can't deduct anymore. The other, you know, the $10,000, my theory is this. Until 2019, when you get your tax return back from your CPA and you see that you owe $3,000 or $4,000 because for some reason the cap gotcha, that's the time when you're going to start thinking to yourself, I don't know if I might buy that house because I had to pay this extra $4,000. I think you're going to go through 2018 and people are still going to sit at the dining room table. My bedrooms are too small. My bathrooms are too small. And the $10,000 isn't going to play a big part in their decisions of buying a house. I'm talking about
around
the tax deductions.
This year will be something to look
at. I think next year, when you get your tax bill and you're capped at 10 grand and we live in the city of Chicago and your taxes are 16 and you have another $4,000 or $5,000 that you have to pay out, then all of a sudden you might think about, hey, let's move to the burbs.
Okay, last question. You just mentioned a lot of myths that you mentioned in the break, just myths around the tax cut, and we heard a lot of it politicized. One of which was that you could not deduct, you get this call all the time, you could not deduct from your home equity line of credit. You can't deduct that any longer, but you just told me that's a myth.
That is untrue. If you purchase a house and you have a home equity line of credit and you use that money for the purchase of a house, or you open up a home equity line of credit for any type of home improvement, you can still write off that interest up to $750,000 along with your first mortgage. So keep that in mind. Anything, any other home equity, if you get for student loans, for a car, this and that, you can't write off anymore. But for the purchase of a primary property or a home improvement, you can still write it off.
Great to see you, bud.
I appreciate
Thanks
you
for
having
here.
Me.
Barry Sterner, of course, the CEO at Townstone Financial, talking to us tonight about the economy and about housing market. This year should be good. Next year, we'll see.
It's always next year, we'll see, right?